Can you imagine listening to a song that was comprised only of drums? Or just drums and bass? Without something over top, it just seems incomplete. That would be like, well, listening to radio with no alternative or community programming. That's why you have it tuned to 99.1 FM, CJAM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit. And listen online at cjam.ca.
I'm Big JD's grandma, and you're listening to You Talking to Me.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
Yes, this is You Talking to Me, and I'm your host, Big JD.
And today, I'm talking to a woman trucker, and I'd like to welcome April Lesbrance to the show.
Thank you.
And how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good.
That's good.
Well, let's start off by asking you how long you've been driving for.
4 years.
4 years?
Yeah.
And 4 years professionally for a company, or?
It's been at different companies, but off and on for TransFreight, basically, for about 2.5.
Okay. Were you always driving big trucks, or
for the 4 years? Yeah. Okay. Some bigger than others.
Yeah. What got you interested in driving a big truck?
I was actually working at a warehouse, ILC, and they closed down, and I dealt with a lot of Chrysler drivers that basically told me that when the company was getting ready to close down, that unemployment would pay to have me, you know, to pay for my license, and it would pay just as much money, if not better. Mm-hmm. And it was more interesting, so that's what made me do it.
Sounds good. And so what types of vehicles have you driven? What are the different sizes and
I've driven, as far as trucks, I've driven the Peterbilts, I've driven like the big sleepers, and mostly 53 footers as mm-hmm. far as trailers, nothing else except well 5 tons.
The 53 foot is like
the trailer,
18 wheeler.
Yeah.
And more than 18 wheels?
Yeah, I've actually had a triaxle, which is an extra tire that you can put down for heavier loads.
Right.
And then when you go around corners, you have to know how to lift them up before you go around them, and then put them back down when you're going straight when it's heavy.
Oh, that's so, why sometimes you see the wheels up.
Yeah.
And it's actually for cornering, for turning.
Yeah. Because you can't have them down when you're turning, or else that's it. You'll split one of them tires.
Oh, you have them down while you're driving and lift them while you're turning.
Yeah. You have to have them down when you're driving on straights, and then up when you're...
I've always wondered why. I thought maybe they were just extra tires because a lot of times on the highway, you see pieces of rubber tire all over the place.
Oh, you'll see that all the time.
Because they're retread.
Yeah, exactly. Lot of them, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I just figured that when a couple tires wore out, they dropped the other ones and then...
Take over.
I didn't realize actually on the highway, you don't see the tires raised up, do you?
Not on the highway, unless they don't have a heavy load. If they have less than what they need, mm-hmm. Then they'll keep them up and keep on going.
They'll or wheel?
Well, the drivers will keep them. We'll keep the wheels up.
What's your family think of you driving?
Oh, they love it. Most of them actually wanted to do it. It was their dream to actually do it, and I was the first one to.
Oh, really?
To put.
Did anybody follow suit?
No.
Or yet?
Nobody yet. No.
No. And friends?
Not too many.
How many, what do they think about
you? I've met more friends actually driving than I did before.
Oh, okay.
So
it's like a kind of a new group.
Yeah.
The drivers.
Yeah. Once you get out there, it's a brand new group.
Mm-hmm. And like people in general, when you tell them what you do, like, do they?
Oh Lord. They ask me basically, okay, where are those pillows at? How can you lift
you can
the
see,
hood?
Yeah.
You know, they ask me weird questions with being small.
And what about the hood?
They asked me if I can open it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because
and
I mean,
do you?
Oh, yeah. I don't care if I have to go from the side. It's getting open.
So, what do you do as far as you mentioned lifting the hood? Obviously, there must be some checks or maintenance of any kind, or do you do any of that stuff? Or
well, yeah, because technically, you're supposed to do a pre-trip, which is you do a whole trip around the truck, inspecting all kinds of different things mm-hmm. in the trailer before you go out on the road, and then you have to check it again at the end of your shift, like whatever you finish working, you're supposed to check it again.
Right. Okay, what about maintenance? Do you do any maintenance on your own, or
Myself personally, I'm not scared to touch anything. Usually I go to, like, we deal with Pollock. I can go there in a heartbeat and then ask them, and they will tell me how to change something. Like, I'll change a light in a second.
Right.
If I can, I carry duct tape, electrical tape, and screwdrivers, pliers, and all that kind of stuff. Because if I can do it, I'm going to do it instead of waiting 2 hours for somebody else to get out there.
Have you had to attempt something?
Oh, I've changed light headlights, but nothing else yet.
In the dark?
Well, yeah, you got flashlights.
Okay. What about the kind of runs that you do, or the type of truck? Is it you drive a refrigerated truck, you drive a regular or empty, you call them?
I've done refrigerated. I've done produce, but right now my dedicated is basically in a day cab, and just I'm home every day roughly around the same time. The reefer run was kind of cool because it was different. I've never done it before, and when I did it, it was different.
Mm-hmm.
Going into different places, it was overnight runs in a great big nice Peterbilt sleeper, and oh Lord, it was nice. And the people were nice, and you know, it's the refrigerated unit though. I mean, if something happens to it, I mean, you can lose everything on there, and it's like it's a bigger responsibility.
And what happens if that happens? I mean, I know it's a responsibility, but obviously it's the company's, or, you know, it's not, I wouldn't imagine your fault if something goes
luckily,
wrong.
Well, luckily I can say that nothing ever happened when I was doing it. So I couldn't
I guess. Make for some interesting discussion, but it's good that it never happened.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned the sleeper cab and also the one that doesn't have a sleeper. Did you call that a day cab?
Yeah, it's a day cab.
So what kind of is the difference between the two? Maybe explain it for listeners.
The sleeper cabs they have the beds and they can have a TV. Some of them are actually almost like a trailer. I mean, where they have everything in them, like a kitchen.
Do they have a bathroom or no?
I haven't really seen one yet that has one.
Okay.
But I hear they do have them.
Wow.
They have a little something that you can do, but they make it easier for guys, you know. Us girls are just now getting into it, so they gotta get with the program sooner or later.
Yeah, they got a lot of things to change.
Oh yeah.
We'll get into that later.
Okay.
We can make trucking better for women.
Oh yes, please.
I sometimes notice that some of the sleeper cabs, the sleeper part there looks really, really big, and some are a little smaller. Is it?
Yeah, because you're probably noticing sizes, like the short ones, and then there's the tall ones. There's ones that you can actually stand up in,
okay,
like all the way, and usually those are two bunks. Like two beds actually.
Mm-hmm.
You can fold one up, or you can bring it down, and the other ones are usually just kind of like you can stand up if you're short enough, but they only have the one beds.
And so those double ones would be for like the husband and wife teams maybe, but
when you want to separate for a little while.
Have you met husband and wife drivers?
There's actually a couple out there. I don't know how they do it, and I give them kudos for being able to do that. You'd have to really get along.
Well, they like driving together. I could understand them both driving separate trucks maybe, but when you see them together, like how does that work? I mean, does maybe the wife just travels with the husband and that's it? I mean, obviously they don't work for the company together, do they?
There's actually some that actually work together, and there's some that just take them for a ride. Ones that take them for a ride, you know, they take them for a ride for a little while, then they drop them off at home, and then they can go back out for a little while.
Or wherever.
You know, yeah. But the ones that actually team together, that's who I give kudos to, because, I mean, you'd have to be together for a while and really get
along.
In
a small, confined area.
Exactly. I mean, and then trust her driving and her trust his driving, and because most of you have to sleep. One of the two of you have to sleep all the time. So,
and that's something a lot of guys sometimes don't trust their wife driving the car or whatever.
I know.
I mean, that must be really something coming to play when they're driving a big truck like that.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, women have gone through the education that they need and are qualified, I would imagine.
The education's there, but most of the places teach you how to pass your road test, kind of a thing. Once you get out there, it's basically
it's a whole other story.
Totally different story.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit as well. And I just wanted to ask you about the owner-operator thing. You drive for a company?
I drive for a company. No, I drive for a company. I've driven for a couple owner-operators. I hear good things about it, and then I hear bad things about being an owner-operator. It all depends on you yourself, basically, on what you want to do. If you want to be an owner-operator, it's basically almost like your own business kind of a thing. But then you have to trust the company to do what they're supposed to do.
So that you're working all the time.
Exactly.
And that kind of thing.
Because then if that truck's not running 24/7, then you're not getting paid, basically.
Right. And would you work only for one particular company if you were an owner-operator? Or do they kind of freelance for whatever if they're on some downtime or whatever?
It all depends on if they're with an expedite company or with a regular company. If they're with an expedite company, they can be put out to basically almost run for almost anybody. And if the run's available.
What exactly does that mean, an expedite company?
Expedite company is basically, if I'm getting ready to ship something out, I can call you up and say, okay, I need this ship to, say, Indiana. Okay. They have like 5 tons, like the smaller trucks. They got minivans or they got bigger trucks. Mm-hmm. And they basically, like, they sit in the yard or they live in their vehicles, basically.
Right, okay.
So they call you up and say, okay, well, I need you to take off and go do this. And they take off.
And it's you're talking about the driver actually lives in his vehicle, or that's all he does, and...
Yeah, basically. So he's on call 24/7.
Okay, like the tow truck drivers.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a break and we'll be back with April, truck driver. Okay, we're back. I'm your host, Big JD, for You Talking to Me on All Talk Radio. Again, I'm talking to April Lesbrance, who is a female truck driver.
That'd be me.
Did you call drivers truckers or... professional driver, or what's the term that...
Oh, everybody calls them all different things. Professional steering wheel holders. Truck drivers.
So saying trucker's not so bad.
No, it's not bad. Not bad at all.
That's good. How are women truckers looked at from the male truck driver point of view?
It kind of took time, just like as when women started going into factories and doing the jobs that guys do. It took a little bit, but I guess it all depends on how you present yourself.
Right.
If you go out there and act not the way you're supposed to act, then you're expecting to get treated that way.
Do you find that you kind of conform to the way that things are? Or would you come into this from the perspective that I'm a woman and it's, you know, we're going to take over, or we're going to, you know what I mean? Like, we have a place here too. Or are you strong that way? Or...
Me personally, I walked in thinking, well, of course, even when I walked into factories, it was basically I'm going into a male dominant atmosphere.
Right.
Of course, they're going to treat me a little different to begin with. But once they get to know me, they'll understand that I'm basically out here to make the dollar just like you are. If I can't handle it, of course, I'm going to change careers. But my goal is basically most of the time I'm going to handle it.
And it's more, though, to sort of fit in than rock the boat, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, most of the times, just like anywhere, though, you're gonna get certain little comments, and you're gonna either ignore them, or if you get a little hostile over them, you're in the wrong career.
Right. And what's the longest run that you've been on?
I would say I went to Chicago, Illinois, and oh my God, I'm telling you, when they asked me to do that run, I thought for sure I was gonna be gone for a couple of days, and I was looking for dedicated runs most of the time. And when they asked me to do that run, I was like, oh my God, okay, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. I've never been there before. I'm gonna go do it. One night, and I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe how short it was. But it was interesting, though. You learn different
things. Why did you think you were going to be gone for longer?
Because
hadn't been there and thought it was like a far place?
Or? I failed geography. Okay. So as far as when it came to knowing how far places were, it was like, oh God. Even Indiana, I thought for sure that was an overnight run. Nope, it's
right,
not.
Okay, they're not very far away. But what about the shortest?
I've actually shunted trailers. I don't know if you know QSS. It's from Baseline to Patillo. I've actually shunted trailers back and forth to there.
Okay, so that just would locally,
an 8-hour job. Yeah, thing. That would be about the shortest.
An 8-hour job that's just driving back and forth.
Yeah,
from one place around the area here to another.
Yeah, you were going like maybe 1 kilometer. You know, in between plants, dock for an hour, get unloaded, reloaded, and then for an hour there, and then you have to go back to the other one.
Now, is that like what you usually do? Because you're home at night, you say.
No, I'm actually on the road. I go to different places. My schedule is kind of different. I go, like, Mondays I go to Brampton, Kitchener. Tuesdays I go to Delta, Ohio, Farmington Hills, Michigan. 2 other places in Michigan there. Wednesdays I go to Brampton, Kitchener, and London.
Okay, so the trip there and unload whatever, come back, and
it's always I'm home within
12 hour. Okay.
Yeah, 12 hour days usually.
That's a long day for driving.
Yeah, but I think it breaks up the monotony with basically having every day is a little bit different, mm-hmm. and you have so many different docks and so many different people to talk to. And
yeah, for the most part, you would think it's going to be fun, and you know that your days are always different and that kind of thing. Does it ever get like you say, a little bit monotonous or boring, or do you get tired driving?
Not really, because it's basically only what you make of it. I mean, mm-hmm. We have like tape decks and we have a radio. You have the CB, and you always run into somebody that's willing to talk. You know what I mean? So it all depends on what you're looking for. If you're one that's into music, you can just put your tunes in and just
Do you put the mic in front of the stereo and play it for everybody else?
No, the guys that do that, the ones that actually do that are just kind of a little bit irritating. Yeah. You know, I'm sorry to talk about you guys, but that's a little irritating.
And some of the guys that have all the, maybe you're into this too, I don't know, the effects, the delay and the reverbs and the crazy sound.
Oh, the
ones
that talk about the CBs, yeah, and they have the beep beeps and everything afterwards, or yeah, oh yeah, that's...
There's so much effect on some of them, I can't understand it, because I use a CB myself. I drive a Jeep and we use it a lot out in the off-roading and stuff, but you know, I use it all the time on the highway to listen to things, or if there's traffic backed up, it's really cool because you can find out what's going on up there and stuff.
Yeah, but then sometimes you're irritating somebody else though.
When?
If you're actually playing it out loud and for everybody music else and to hear.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, I just I use a CB. I'm not saying that I would do that, but I've heard it before, foul language, and I know that usually it's etiquette not to...
Well, you know, there's certain people I know that actually do not have a CB in their truck and prefer to drive that way. And it seems to be, for me personally, it's hard to understand because if I have a flat tire or I have a light out or my door's open or anything might be going on, I'd like to know about it.
Right.
You know, I mean, I listen to my radio. If I don't feel like listening to some of the stuff that's going on in the CB, I'll just turn it down some.
Right.
But I like to hear what's going on, like what I'm coming into or...
especially in that profession, I think you need that communication.
Oh yeah, because I mean mainly with the deer, because they're like nuts out there. I've hit two so far since I've been driving. I didn't like it that much, but I did.
So what do you do when you hit a deer? Do you just call somebody or do you stop? Or
you're supposed to call I guess the MTO or DTO or DOT. You're supposed to call certain ones. It all depends, I guess, on where it is afterwards. The second one I hit was on the 401, and basically when I hit him, he ended up in the middle of the road, kind of a thing. So once I pulled over, I called traffic and they called the local DOT officers.
And you have to wait for somebody to come?
No, because the truck wasn't really damaged or nothing. They had my name, they had the truck number and everything else like that there. So
there's nothing really you can do, I suppose.
No, there isn't.
Give the animal mouth-to-mouth resuscitation or something?
No, I was kind of sad, but the truck driver behind me said, well, you know, if it was somebody else in a four-wheeler in a car, they could have been killed. So you basically saved someone's life. And it kind of made me feel a little better, but I still killed an animal. I felt pretty bad.
Yeah, it happens, but
it's kind of
unfortunate that they die that way. But let's move on to talking a little bit about the education. What's the process like?
It's pretty simple. I know unemployment still pays for the course, but you have to go through a longer process because they want to...
That's, of course, if you're on unemployment. If you're not, then you just pay for it.
Yeah.
A trucking school
they
of some
have,
kind?
Or? Yeah, they have, I think, four of them in Windsor now. So go to all four of them and check out and see which one feels comfortable to you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just jump into it not knowing what you're doing. Best thing to do is to go to all of them, see what they have to offer. The skid course is awesome. Go to all four of them and see what they have to offer. Most of the prices, I think, range in between like 100.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's very expensive to drive a truck.
I think they're going down now since the last time I've taken it. When I took it, I think it's gone down a little bit.
You mentioned the skid?
Skid course.
What is that exactly?
That's actually defensive driving. You go out on this course and they actually have you jackknifing the truck and trailer and straightening it out. And all of a sudden you're...
Parallel parking?
Kind of, yeah. They have you basically almost... The one guy that I was with, I thought for sure we were going over the cliff, but luckily we didn't. They have scenarios for you that basically if you were to come up on this here, what would you do, kind of a thing.
And
It's good to get your mind going, just in case. You never know, it might happen one day.
What about weather-wise? I mean, if you're taking the skid course, say, in the summertime, but what would they do to maybe teach you things about wet conditions or snow, ice, that kind of thing?
Well,
what do they do?
That's basically the defensive driving, because they have water sprinklers all over.
Oh, okay.
So they basically just wet the pavement, and then they'll have pylons set up and, you know, X's. And once you get close to it, they'll put an arrow, and that's the lane you have to pick, and they see how fast you can get over to it. So they show you a little bit more quick thinking. You have to be on the ball all the time.
Well, that's obviously a good thing that you would... And it's mandatory, I take it?
Well, if you're not on the ball, then you're looking for a lot of accidents.
Okay. But I mean, mandatory to take that?
The skid course? I think there's one or two schools that still don't offer it.
Do they teach you techniques of keeping awake?
No.
Cold air, loud music?
No.
No, you got
to
learn that on
That
your
you have
own.
To okay. figure out.
Yeah. Examinations? How does that work? Obviously, there's got to be something written, and then also driving.
For your for your truck and inspections kind of things?
No, the license to get, I mean, you take the course.
And you go for your road test, yeah.
Your road test is basically the same type of thing as a regular automobile license?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we are going to discuss truckers' unions and also truck driver camaraderie. We'll be back right after this. Okay, let's talk a little bit about truck driver lifestyle. Are there some that consider it a lifestyle, or would you?
The ones I think consider it a lifestyle are the ones that basically live in their trucks. Basically that either have a summer cottage or whatever that they can go back to, but they basically run, and don't do nothing basically else. I'd find that kind of my lifestyle. I mean, it's just like being in a factory or anything else. I go in, I punch in, do my job, and go home.
Right.
So I don't know. I'd figure lifestyle-wise, I think you would be for the long haulers that are being on the road and not going home right away or things like that.
Either maybe don't have a family or... what would be the reason maybe somebody would only for the money maybe?
I don't really find it makes any difference because I know some of the long hauls that I have done, you don't get paid to sleep in your truck.
Right.
You don't get paid for your downtime or anything. So to me, unless you're an owner operator, it might be a little different. But
only drive so long, I guess. I mean, you have to sleep.
Yeah. It's different from the States than it is on this side here. But yeah, I mean, you don't get paid for that kind of stuff, for the sleeping or crossing a border or certain things or waiting at the border. So it all depends on what you want out of it, basically.
Do you think that drivers have gotten a bad rap over the falling asleep thing? Or, I mean, do you think that's something that can happen to pretty well anybody driving, under circumstances? Or do you think that they're, for the most part, maybe careless?
To me personally, my opinion on it is it's careless because if you didn't get enough sleep the night before that you have to go out on a run and you get behind the wheel, you're asking for trouble. If you know you're getting sleepy, I mean, you have rest areas, you have on and off ramps, you have places to pull over, take a half an hour nap or a quick, something, and then get back out on the road. The ones who keep on driving and start falling asleep and keep on doing it, unless it's a condition, then you shouldn't be behind the wheel.
When you mentioned taking a break, taking a half hour break or whatever, are you guys have any kind of scheduled time off, break wise, for your trip, for your run, or are they mostly usually time dependent? Like you have to be somewhere at a certain time or something's going to close or they're waiting for parts or.
Most of the companies that I've dealt with. Yeah. You have window times, you have, set places you have to be at certain times, but most of the companies, well, I know with the company I'm with now, if I call up there and all of a sudden, okay, well, it's 9 o'clock now, I'm supposed to be I have an hour to get to the place I'm going to, but all of a sudden I don't feel good or I am really tired and I know I shouldn't be on the road.
Right.
I call them up and tell them look it, I got to pull over for half an hour, and they will compensate you. They will, they'd rather see you safe than sorry.
Right.
Even if it's a little bit late, they'll deal with it.
Other times, even they might have to send somebody else if somebody's
really
sick. But
yeah.
I mean,
there's been a couple of drivers. There was two not too long ago that actually ended up getting food poisoning, and they just turned around and sent somebody else to get their runs and had them taken care of instead of letting them get out there and drive. They're looking for the driver's safety. They don't want to see you out there and hurting somebody or yourself.
Now, is that the food in the truck stops?
Oh,
or
yeah,
don't
trust everywhere you
food,
go. No, it was something else that they got.
That's something that, I'd never really thought about in my research, to have this discussion with you was food. Do you cook food and take it with you, or do you find yourself stopping a lot, or how does that work? And maybe not just for yourself, or you can answer for yourself now, but I mean, what do you see of other drivers?
There are some truck drivers that I noticed that they take their own lunch. They'll make something before. If most of the ones that are not long haulers that aren't gone for a couple nights at a time, most of them will make their own. A lot of them though, they like to stop into those fast food places and sit down, relax, and eat something. And then hopefully they're all eating healthy though, because it can take an effect on you. Me personally, I don't like to eat too often when I'm on the road because then it makes me sleepy.
Right, okay.
Because then I'm full and I'm sleepy and then, and mainly on the 401, that's a long dead stretch there and you don't want to be tired on that one.
Right. You don't want to have a big turkey dinner and then go on a run or...
No, no, for sure.
I forget what it is in turkey. I don't know if you know what it is in turkey that makes you tired, but there's something in it.
No, but I just try not to eat that much of it.
Driving in general then, as far as the roads and drivers themselves and what kind of improvements... would you like to see maybe as far as the roads and even drivers?
Actually, to tell you the truth, I'd like to see everybody that goes for their G license and goes to for driving cars to actually have maybe, I don't know, what do they call them, simulating truck, you know, like the cars where you can sit in that little chair and pretend you're driving a car and it shakes
yeah,
and everything
a simulation,
off.
Like yeah, simulation, almost like a video game type
do
thing.
Do that for big trucks and make them do that there to see how fast, you know, they can, how slow that actually takes them to stop. Like, you
right.
know, they can't stop on a dime. And
that's right.
So when you're coming on them on ramps, you know, you've got to make a decision there. I think they need to learn. I think the cars need to learn a little. I took both my boys out with me in the truck to let them know basically that, you know, we can't stop as fast as you mm-hmm. can. We can't swerve and do things like you. So you have to be more cautious of us.
Right. Let alone if your trailer's empty. But I mean, obviously if it's empty, the truck is big and heavy anyway. Do you know the weight of?
That all depends.
Okay.
It all depends. I mean, if you're empty, you're really light and you're going to be all over the place.
Yeah.
If you have a heavy load, it all depends on your tires and how fast you react.
Right. But so, no matter what, it's going to take you a long time to stop.
Oh yeah.
Either way, really.
Oh yeah. And it all depends on your last brake job too, you know, so.
Sure.
It all depends.
If anybody's driven just a car pulling a trailer, they know the difference, I mean,
yeah,
between braking without a trailer and braking, pulling something behind you.
Yeah, they should.
So any improvements as far as maybe the ministry is concerned, like roads and lanes and those kinds of things, maybe more areas, rest stop areas, or do you find that there's enough or are there a lot around?
Well, on the 401, I think they need more rest areas and I think they need a little bit more spots to be, I don't know, a little bit more showcased kind of a thing, like not so dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long stretch of road to drive up and down all the time and have nothing else around. I mean, you don't have any rest areas really until you get to, I think it's Tilbury is basically the first one, just mm-hmm. past Tilbury. To see a little bit more on the roads would be a little bit nicer. The roads, as far as fixing them, I guess that takes time. And then you got construction all the time, constantly right now even. So, I mean,
right,
we get kind of tired of it.
Yeah. Makes things really slow, I imagine, when you're stuck in traffic. And I feel bad for the guys that cross the border all the time because you see those trucks sitting in a big line up there and they got to be there for hours and hours.
But the biggest thing with that situation is, though, I mean, most of them truck drivers are crossing that border at least twice a week or, you know, every day or whatever. They know mm-hmm. what to expect.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the biggest thing is those guys are down there doing their job also. So the biggest thing is just make sure you dot your I's, cross your T's, and you give an attitude, they're going to give you one back, and they can ruin your life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So don't give them an attitude. Just kind of do what you got to do.
What about old school truckers versus new school? Do you find difference with the people that are coming in now as opposed to the guys that have been around for a while?
Huge, huge. Mm-hmm. The older truck drivers are more old timers, kind of, I guess you'd say. They're friendlier. They would give you the shirt off their back. I mean, they would help you out huge. Nowadays, most of the truck drivers now aren't being taught courtesy. They're not being taught to be courteous, to be friendly, to do anything. Like, I mean, some of them, they'll come out of school with it, but I mean a majority of them nowadays, I mean, you flash a truck driver to let him know he can get in front of you, he's got the room now, you don't get a flash back anymore most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get none of this, you know, none of the kind of like, or you know, they flash you to let you know you can get ahead of them, or you don't get none of the curiosity, but you don't get none of that there. But most of the old time truck drivers, not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you can usually see them when you're passing or whatever. You can usually tell.
Okay. Do you find that there's a lot more women driving trucks now?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's quite a lot. I've seen, I think it was on Friday, I think I seen like a four and just on the one trip. And usually I might see the odd one, but they're seeing a lot more.
I would imagine you never really group together unless you meet somebody and you stop somewhere or something. Is it you're usually kind of by yourself most of the time? No, unless you stop at a truck stop or something and meet people. And does everybody just kind of, you sit with other truck drivers and kind of hang out?
It all depends on if you're on dedicated runs. Like if you do the same run every single day and then you start running with the same people all the time, it could be with people with different companies even, and you start running. I used to do that all the time and
but
run
you just
with
see
certain
them all
ones.
The time, so you're
yeah
you're
exactly
driving
so you cross the border the same time, you'd get down there and, you know, chit chat all the way. Sometimes you get on a different station on the CB just to be able to chit chat without irritating anybody,
and you move to another channel.
Yeah.
Thank you for being a guest on the show. It was great having you, April.
No, thank you.
Hope you enjoyed today's show, and I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.